energy is more than healing modalities like acupuncture or body work, and it shows up in the stories that you tell, both in how you say it and what you say. So how you show up and speak on stage matters. I had such a powerful conversation with Qigong master teacher and speaker presentation mentor Vicky Dellojoyo about how to craft a compelling story, how to conquer stage fright, and really have a magnetic presence on stage so that you can impact listeners in a bigger way. I mean, it's all about connection and impact. So let's take a listen so you can learn your power presence. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey everyone, it's Lindsay again with the Leverage Your Podcast Show. And of course, yes, I'm speaking on a podcast, but I also speak on stages, and I hope you do too. And so today I have with me Vicky Dellojoyo, who is a Qigong master teacher, but also a speaker presentation mentor. And we're going to be talking about speaking, whether it's on stage or virtually, but kind of with a different approach. So I'm kind of pumped about this conversation, Vicky. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Lindsay. It's a pleasure to see you.
So let's start off by talking about Qigong in a little bit, just because I've never heard of it, honestly, until I met you. But I love that your approach is that energy is more than healing modalities like acupuncture and so forth, that it shows up in the stories that we tell, like how we tell it or what we're saying. And so that tie-in to speaking just totally intrigues me. So what is Qigong and how does that kind of tie in?
Qigong is a Chinese martial art for healing, and it's been around for thousands and thousands of years. In fact, a lot of people say it's sort of the mother of all martial arts, but then I've studied martial arts since I was a kid, and I would say every system I've studied, they always think they're the mother. So, but it's a very broad word. So Qigong is a word like dance. Like if you think like, oh, you teach dance. Well, do you do ballet? Do you do Alvin Ailey? Do you do tap? Do you do ballroom? So the same way, Qigong has a lot of different strands that are get covered by this umbrella term. And basically what it's working with is the study. I mean, the thing that sort of unites all of these different styles and ways of approaching Qigong is that they're all about breath work, being able to move energy in the way you can with acupuncture or acupressure, but without the needles or the pressure. Being able to really access that sense, that core life force energy that gets called qi in the Asian arts, or qi. That qigong is basically there's different. I'm sorry to stutter for a second. There's different types of. Like there's medical qigong, right? And that's the same type of thing of acupuncture, right? You're moving energy, you're working with energy and how it appears in our health and how we balance what's called the five elements and different things like that. Then there's martial arts qigong, which is about being able to defend yourself and being able to emit energy. And then there's the spiritual approaches. There's a lot of different approaches.
Oh, okay.
And basically the work that I've done over the last 50 plus years is really kind of a hybrid. I've created something I call the Way of Joy Qigong, which is looking at what would our lives look like if joy was a fuel instead of a goal. And I've taken some of these at practices and really started to apply them to how to help speakers become more powerful whether they're on stage or they're speaking one-on-one to a collaborator or potential client or a referral partner or something like that. How do we take that energy? So that's a long-winded answer to what Qigong is.
That's interesting. I didn't realize there were so many like realms and layers, and it sort of feels like it can impact like every part of your life.
Well, that's been my experience. I don't know if that's true. You know, if I think for people who are drawn to it or who are interested in it, it can, and it does. Yeah. I mean, it certainly has impacted every part of my life, from the ways in which I think of myself as a spirit having a human experience, all the
Uh-huh.
way to how I treat my health and how, and I especially use it as a performer because I'm a performer as well as a director and speaker mentor. How I help people get to another level of the impact that they know they were born to make.
I love that. So, framing it in when someone is speaking on stage or speaking virtually, how does that energy affect the outcome of how you're being heard?
I think let me take a little bit of a roundabout way to answer
Okay.
that question. There's a concept in Qigong and in Chinese healing in acupuncture called Wei Qi. And in Chinese medicine, that's about protection. It's how it's like our immune system, what keeps you from getting sick from allergens and pathogens and that kind of thing. In Qigong, Wei Qi has to do basically means outer energy, the energy that's emitted outward. So, when you go to like a party or you go a networking event and you feel really drawn to some people and a little bit like, I don't think so with
Yeah.
other people, that's a function of this energy field called Wei Qi. It's very perceptible and yet it's subtle, right? I mean, people aren't like, most people aren't going around looking at what's your energy field like. But they are responding to something. And it's not just your posture or, how you dress or what your makeup is or whatever or the thing is that people, they say that it was it 7 seconds that people make their first
Yeah.
impression. But there's something that goes behind that that people are drawn to that helps may either makes them like, I would say, lean in towards you or want to give you a pass. And so the outcome, I would say, particularly for speakers, is that when you have that sense of being centered, grounded, and emitting this field called Wei Qi, which sounds really woo-woo, but is actually quite palpable. When that's in place, it's almost like a magnetism, right? It starts to draw people in, not in a negative, manipulative way, but it just
Yeah.
has have people lean in.
That's interesting. And so is it something that is like innate in a person, or is it something that can be learned?
Both,
Okay.
both. So we all, everybody has energy, whether,
Yes.
no matter what you do with it, and everybody has, certain ways in which they're drawing people or repelling them. But as you work with it, you can start to expand that field. And let me just tell you a little bit of a story because,
Okay.
listen, I am from New York City. I grew up in a very nitty-gritty, what you see is what you get type of world. So I'm not coming from a woo-woo background. In
Right.
fact, when I came to California, I was really afraid I was going to become one of those woo-woo people whose feet barely touch the ground. And, that's been how I've been making my living for the last 50 years. So, you never know what's going to happen. But one time, for example, when I experienced this, one of the first times I experienced Wei Qi was before I'd even heard that word or knew what it was. I'd been studying a lot of fighting arts at that time because I was wanting to learn self-defense. I had gotten beaten up on the street, ear bashed, basically.
Jeez.
And I really wanted to learn how to protect myself. And I had been fighting a lot at the school. And there was this one, I remember there was this, I was breaking up at the time with my partner. So she was training at the same school I was. And for some reason, our teacher thought it would be a great idea to pit us against each other sparring. So we'd be hitting and kicking one another at the, sparring and then going home and yelling at each other. It was not the best time in my life, let's put it that way.
Jeez.
Right. So I was walking home one day from the subway, what's called BART here in California. And as I was walking, I was thinking to myself, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired of hurting people. I'm tired of
Yeah.
being hurt and bruised. There's got to be another way. And just as I was thinking this, this person walked around the corner. And I think most women know that sometimes you'll see somebody on the street and you'll just have this sense of like, right? A sense of like, this is not going to be safe. And of course, my antennae were very alert at that point, because of my past experiences. And as he came up to me, I just straightened up and I thought to myself, I am. That's what the thought came, I am. He reached out to grab me. And as he reached out, his hand bounced about, I would say, 6 inches to a foot from contact. And he walked away looking at his hand. and then looking at me and looking at his hand back and forth. So I knew he hadn't missed, but he felt something. That was,
Interesting.
yeah. And so this is, again, for me as a New Yorker to be telling this story is a stretch, but it was something where I realized this is actually a palpable thing. And what if we could actually use that? What if we could use it on stages? What if we could use it in our business? What if we could use it when we're communicating with one-on-one with people, or even how we communicate to ourselves? So I started to think about that. So anyway, that in terms of how we tell our story on a stage, that Wei Qi energy is part of what makes has that intangible thing that gets called charisma. That's what that is.
And that, I know you use that word like attracting or magnetic presence. Is that what you mean? Like,
Yes, that when I think about your power presence, it has to do with partly with this energy that you're emitting. It also has to do, power presence also has to do with being centered in yourself and really kind of having that sense of, it's not just confidence, but that sense of nothing else is going on. You're there, right? You're there. You know, when somebody's there and they're really listening and they're really hearing you, that's a very special connection. What if we could have that connection one to many? How do we do that? So that's part of what I explore, and that's how I bring some of the energy practices in when I'm working with speakers.
I love that. So when you're on stage, like how do you, are there tips that you have that help people kind of like lean in and like want more from you or are attracted to you? What are those like magical elements?
Those are a little harder to break down, but
Fair enough.
some things that I think, for me, one of the most effective ways to reach people's hearts is through the stories that you tell and how you tell them. Because, you know, when you can invite people into the movie of something that you've experienced or something that you're, you know, that you are seeing or perceiving, that's to me where the heart-to-heart connection actually happens. That's where we start to actually entrain with our audience. There
Yeah,
was a
you get that emotional connection, I guess, when there's stories and it's
well,
it
yes,
carries
when there are
more
stories
impact.
that are compelling, and then there are also a lot of things. A lot of times, what I see with speakers, it's they know, okay, they know storytelling is important for speaking, right? That's a cliche by now, but a lot of times, people, when they tell their stories, they're telling about something. This happened, then this happened, then this happened, that this happened. One of the things that I like to work with people at, you know, even when I was just telling this story before about getting grabbed on the street, we can take moments where we actually are living it. So instead of just saying, oh, she saw this and then she did that and I did this and she did that, to invite people into their experiencing it. I'm standing there, he's reaching out. All of a sudden, he bounces, and then I sort of demonstrate what his face looked like so that you can kind of see what I was seeing. You're looking through my eyes, you're coming through my heart. That's a skill to develop, I think. And that, to me, some of the best speakers that I've seen, that's what they do. They invite you in to be able to see that movie.
I've never seen it or I've never heard it explained that way before. Like I hear again, yes, like storytelling is important when you're on podcasts and blah, blah, blah. But to say it that way, where it's like how you're phrasing it to draw someone in an emotional way that they feel like they're there and they're experiencing it as well. Now, do you, correct me if I'm wrong, but you help other entrepreneurs craft their storytelling, right? For that reason?
Yes. I help them. I mean, I help them with all the message that they have,
Okay.
the stories that they tell, the delivery of how they do those stories, and then the energy that fuels all of it. So it's
Ooh.
basically a four parts that I really focus on, those four elements. Storytelling is one of my very favorite things to do. I'm a storyteller myself. I'm a performer. I've been in theater companies most of my life. I've been in the one I'm in now for the last 23 years, 22 years, something like that. And it's all based on storytelling, the work that I do. So I'm a big believer in that as a way to inspire people. And a lot of the times when I'm working with speakers, a lot of the speakers I'm working with, they're really speaking to inspire as much as they are, say, speaking to sell. I do also work with people who are wanting to sell from the stage, but I'm really looking at how do you inspire and raise the energy of the audience so that they're uplifted by what you're doing, as opposed to just receiving a bunch of information like a fire hose.
So true. And when I think when you do captivate someone and bring them into your world and they remember it and are impacted and inspired, they will remember you. And that is huge. And if you impact them in a way that your service is kind of like an extension of that, then they're drawn to your service as well naturally versus the typical, selling from the stage, in my perspective.
That's so perfectly said, Lindsay. I agree with you 100%, and that is exactly the sort of the methodology and the ideology that's behind what I do.
So, do you have any tips on like
How to do
how to
that?
craft a story that is engaging and bringing people into your sphere?
Part of it is what do you embody? What do you demonstrate with your body? How do you enter into the feeling sense of the story as opposed to the data or the information in the story? What I think that so part of it. One of the tips is something I just call standing tall. That when we can stand, the way I work, I don't tend to work with people memorizing scripts, right? Some of the people that I work with do that because that helps them make be most secure. But I'm really looking at how do we tap into the spontaneity of a story so that we're re-improvising it every time. Like I don't ever tell the same story the exact same way. There's certain things I know, having been on stage a lot, I know what works and what doesn't in a story, but I think that standing tall basically is feeling like the crown of your head, the top of your head is reaching up towards the sky. You're grounded through your sits bones if you're sitting on Zoom, or with your feet if you're standing on a stage, or both. If you're sitting, you want to also feel your feet on the ground. That when you have that sense of extension, we all know good posture is a good idea, but when we have extension, it literally allows energy to move because chi, energy moves in the space between. It's like water in a brook, right? It goes around sticks, stones, obstacles, around those pebbles, and just finds its way. So the more you can lift and let that energy move, you'll even find that it'll allow you to be more spontaneous when unexpected things happen, right? The lights go out, or the mic drops, or all the different things that happen to us as speakers, to be able to be present with it, play with it, as opposed to freeze or try to cover it or try to overcompensate for it.
And it's like even if you've done it before, you're still nervous. And when you're going on stage, you can be, have stage fright for lack of better terms, but you're just like you feel stiff and you feel like you have to go through like your script. You're almost not in the moment.
Right.
How do you let that go?
One of my favorite things to do is right before I go on stage is to actually, it is about setting the intention, because a lot of times I find, and I still get stage fright. I'm a 50 plus year veteran of being on stages. I've been performing since I was 7 years old, so it's even longer than 50 years. But it's I put my hands on my heart, and this I do pretty regularly. I mean, there's different qigong exercises I do too, but this is so simple. You put your hands on your heart, and you notice what you're feeling. You notice what's going on in if you're clenching your gut or you're clenching your jaw, or just notice what you notice. You don't have to change it, but then bring your energy forward in terms of who is it that I'm speaking to? What is it that what do I love here in the people? What am I wanting to love up, right? And to bring the focus in terms of sending love as opposed to receiving evaluation, judging. What are they thinking? Are they going to understand me? Do they like me? Am I going to remember my lines? Am I going to remember what I'm supposed to do here? Am I going to all that stuff, which kind of goes on in the
Oh,
background.
God, yeah.
But to really let that be in the background, and that the main focus is how can I sh show and demonstrate love. And again, I know that's a little bit on the woo-woo side, but when I focus that, of what I'm sending out as opposed to how people will perceive me, I find that that stage fright turns into momentum. It's not that it goes away. It just starts to shift. It shifts so that heightened energy becomes something else as opposed to freezing. It becomes flow.
Yeah, that's powerful. And yeah, it's just totally shifting your mindset and I guess noticing how you're feeling and putting the focus on something else.
Right. Allowing yourself to really tap in to what you're feeling. So it's not like you're trying to push it away or deny it, but just say, okay, I can feel my, you know, I feel my legs are shaking under me, or I can feel my belly is starting to churn, or I feel like my breath is getting shorter. So it's just like, okay, notice that. Now, if I focus energy out, like looking at somebody I absolutely adore, looking at my dog's face, you know, looking at something that feels unconditional. And then all of a sudden that starts to soften. I mean, we can also do things like into the belly and just try to, again, lengthen that spine so that that energy can flow. That a lot of times will take care of it for a lot of folks that I've worked with.
Yeah.
And there are high stakes. I mean, these are high stakes, a lot of them high stakes, you know, Supreme Court presentations or whatever, where it really matters. And not just for them, but also for their clients or you know, that kind of thing. When we can really get into that place, it's powerful. I worked with a lawyer who was presenting to the Supreme Court, and I got to watch her because it was in Canada, and the Supreme Court of Canada streams a lot of the cases.
Oh, cool.
And so I got to watch her as they were streaming it. And we had worked a lot because there were a lot of folks who were telling her, there's no way you're going to win this case. It's good. It's a good social justice issue, but don't expect anything. And when she started speaking, the justices kept interrupting her and stopping her. It's like if she didn't get the first two sentences out. And what I saw her do was just do this lengthening thing. And she was able to be gracious, non-defensive, very easy, answer the question, go back to what she was saying. Well, you could hear the subtext of the justices was pretty hostile, like, you don't even belong here. You know that, don't you? That was the kind of attitude they had, kind of challenges. Yeah, it was a rough crowd. And she had quite an incredible success with it, where she flipped some, I mean, the court split. Also, I don't need to get into the whole case, but the bottom line was how she presented really made a big impact, and now she's got other people wanting her to take stuff to Canada.
I love that. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's like, even just knowing that you have control over how you're poised, how you're being presented, how you're receiving and giving information, and that you're not letting that outside situation rattle you. Like, to be able to know that, I feel like that would be so empowering that you can just handle anything.
Well, I think that that's right. I think that that's right. And I think for me, that's sort of what the Qigong brings in. It's that sense of effortless power, inner power. I'm not talking about power over, but really that internalized power.
Yeah. I love that. What are your favorite tools that you use to emit this power presence that you talk about?
Well, one of them is the simple standing tall.
Yeah.
There's a Qigong exercise that helps amplify your Wei Qi, this externalized Qi I was talking about before. It's very simple. I could show it to you.
Yeah.
You just basically circle your arms around. And as you do, you relax in your solar plexus, because your solar, I don't want to get into a whole thing about what the solar plexus means energetically, but relax your solar plexus and just imagine that it's like a sun, solar, and you're just shining from there. And that's a really good way to let yourself step into your bigness. Because a lot of times when speakers have stage fright, it's that sense of like, oh, what if they don't like me? Or who am I to take up space, especially women, that this helps to really expand it and say, no, this is about heart. This is about wanting to offer a gift. This is about me connecting with people. So doing this Wei Qi energy, you circle your arms three times, and then you make fists with your thumbs on the insides of those fists, and then you ground, which basically means you bring your fist down towards the ground. I don't know if this is too technical or not, but
no, I love it. It's so interesting. And I, yeah, because even when you do that,
look at you.
Like,
yeah.
You feel like the air around you is expanding. Like you just, and it does get your blood moving and what have you. Like it makes you feel different.
But just when I did that, it was like, whoa, you're beautiful. Yeah. Yeah.
So sweet. I love that. So what do your clients come to you with? Like, do they like, oh, I need to brush up on my speaking skills, or I'm not getting booked on shows, or what do you feel like is the biggest, I guess, obstacle that comes your way?
I think that one of the last people who worked with me came to me because she wanted both the energy part and the storytelling part. She'd done both with me at different times. That she really wanted to, she had a big keynote coming up, and she wanted to do a keynote that was different, that was kind of out of the box, that she wanted to stand out, that she didn't want to do a talk like everybody else does, which was a lot of unilateral information. She wanted to have something where there was an exchange, a give and take with the audience, ways that she would even include some breakout things. This was a live keynote, not a virtual one. So what she wanted to do was sort of shake up the basic keynote rules.
Yeah.
And it was a high stakes keynote. It was really important what she was doing. So she really wanted to have that kind of impact to help leaders. She was talking to organizational development leaders. She wanted to really have them see and feel something different. I think the other thing people come is like they people come to me sometimes with just wanting to up level their story. Like they have a story, but it's not really touching people and they don't know why. So I can help with that. That's one of my favorite things to do. Or some people don't even know, you know, I don't even know if I have a story or who would care or why does it matter. And I don't know why I have this skill. It's not something I've even cultivated. It's very natural for me. I know how to pull a story out of people. I just know how to do that. So that I really look for not just the story, but what's the story under the story? Because I believe that vulnerability is strength. And when we can be vulnerable with our story, it can be very, very powerful and empowering. And when I say vulnerable, I don't mean like, you know, you don't want to have the audience go, oh, I'm so sorry. You don't want the audience to take care of you or, you know, feel like they have to do something to reassure you. But to have that sense of vulnerability in terms of this is who I truly am. This is all I'm being.
And you're sharing an intimate moment of your life or whatever the story is. I mean, that's being vulnerable.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll never forget. I had a client and she was like life coach, helped women confidence and what have you, and worked with her. And then it wasn't until I had known her for quite some time that I actually found out what her story was and like her past and her relationship. And she took her kid out of there and what have you. And she was telling me the story. I'm like, why are you not sharing this? Like that to me is like, it would help people connect to you and yes, grow your business, but like, it was such a powerful story that it's funny how a lot of people shrink away from telling that story, even though it would benefit their business and help them attract clients and also impact more people.
Well, particularly, that's so true, Lindsay. And I think that's particularly when it's a vulnerable story, right? Because there's some kind of illusion that you know, if you somehow seem like you've got it all together, that's going to make people draw towards you.
And I know.
Actually, people, that's not what draws people in. I mean, it could be for some people who are looking for a guru or something, but for most people, that's not it. It's really that, you know, seeing the reflection of themselves in you somehow, right? Seeing, oh, this is something that I've gone through and she or he has come to another place with it. I love that story that you just told. I saw somebody speak just this last weekend, and she was one of the best speakers I've ever seen. She was phenomenal. And part of what she told was a story that I personally related to, where she was, you know, she had taken a break from her business to raise her kids and saw somebody on Oprah leading Oprah through something that she had taught him. And she's like, he's on Oprah. I'm here with dirty diapers. And she broke down and cried. And she told that story. It was funny. It was sad. It was moving. She had every single one of us in the palm of her hand, because we could all feel what that's like, when that sense of like, wait a minute, somebody else is doing this. Why am I not doing it? Especially since it was material that he had been using. And she said, she blessed him with it. It's good. It's not that she didn't want that for him. It's just more like, what am I doing with my choices? And, and then looking at what that meant and so forth. But yeah, it was amazing. I was just like, oh, she's really knows how to do this as a performance piece. Because really, my background's theater, so I'm always looking at how do we edutain, right? Entertain, educate. How do we do that in a way that's really compelling?
Yeah, that's so true. Do you ever have someone where they're like performing too much? Like, there are people that shrink
Oh,
away when they
yeah.
don't have the energy, but some people overcompensate and they're like too loud, too silly, too, you know what I mean? And you gotta like rein them in a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. There's definitely that kind of overpowering. It's almost like sometimes it can be like almost a bully energy, like I'm just gonna, yes, that's really true. So yes, there are times when we need to dial someone back. Those are the supreme extroverts or the people who are just so full of themselves, that then it becomes another, it becomes the temper, there's a tempering process, right? How do we temper that in a way that is still bite-sized so people can actually absorb what you're doing as opposed to feeling, again, this fire hose thing or the sense of feeling like more and more put off by how much that person, when somebody's too much, it's then you need to pull back. So it's really about how do we invite people in, not overpower them, right?
Compel.
No,
I know.
propel them. Yeah.
Some people are like, they're just too much. They just, I don't know. And sometimes people are overcompensating, right? Or they're
Yeah.
nervous energy, or who knows?
Exactly.
Any last tips for anyone that wants to step on the stage and have that magnetic presence?
I'm not sure if this is exactly a tip, but what I'd like to say is that if you have a message, if it's something where you feel like you know that you are wanting to raise the energy of the people around you. You have a gift that you feel like is really important during these days, which are so fraught for so many people, where people are scared and nervous, and there's for so many good reasons. If you have something that you feel like you can help people come back to center, come back to their hearts, we really need you to be out there. So even if you have reluctance about being on stage or you're not quite sure how to do it, I just want to implore you to find the help that you need. None of us is meant to do this alone. I've been in this business for a long time, and I still work with a director. I still work with coaches when I'm about to do something that's high stakes. But the bottom line is, do something. Do it. We need your voice. Your voice matters.
I love that. And having sometimes it can be scary, and having that support system in a loving way that's not just, and this is why I love your approach. It's not just about mastering the logistical steps to have like the perfect talk and sell from the stage. It's energetically connecting yourself with other people, but also getting your message across in a way that's impactful, and owning your message and owning who you are and feeling good about what you're doing. It's kind of,
Yes.
it all intertwines.
That's right. And having that internal sense match the outside, right? So it's that inner game and the outer game that they are in alignment.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. And if I remember correctly, you have a resource if sharing your power presence, which I think is really valuable. Can you share that and how they can get it?
Yes, it's a guide that I'm particularly proud of that goes over some of the material that we just have been discussing. But it's basically looking at how to cultivate what I think of as the three P's, your passion, your presence, and your power. When we have those three aligned, then we are more impactful as speakers, whether we're speaking one to many from a stage or one, in a small group or church or synagogue or mosque, or whether we're speaking one to one to potential clients, referral partners, collaborators, so forth. So I call it the secrets behind charisma, three steps to inspire and motivate, or three keys to inspire and motivate your audience every time you speak. And really what I'm looking at is I'm sort of breaking that down a little bit more. And then I also have exercises for each one of those pieces of passion, presence, and power, something physical that you can do before you step on a stage or before you go have a conversation that feels intimidating or scary, things that you can use, that you can actually do that help your energy, your chi flow, so that when you're connecting, it's from a place of inner power. And
I
that's
love that.
You go to
how to get it.
your power presence. It's a free gift, yourpowerpresence.com. And that's a good place there too. Also, if you feel like you have something you want to ask me or say to me directly about anything that we've talked about today, you can find a way to connect with me directly there.
Perfect. I love that. I'm going to download it myself. I imagine even it's helpful, like when you're doing sales calls, like so many different situations, not just speaking, that it can really impact how you come across and, how you connect with someone, level of influence. I love it.
Yes, absolutely. It's not meant, I wrote it for speakers, but I've had a lot of people read it and go, oh, you know, I'm going to really use this in this conversation that feels challenging to me.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to use it.
I'm so glad.
Anyone needs that little extra edge, right? It's like how to come across, in a better way and have more impact and connection. I think that's the name of the game.
I so agree, Lindsay. Absolutely.
Yeah. I so appreciate you. I've loved this conversation and I love your energy, Vicky. And I'm so glad to know you and have you on the show.
It's been such a pleasure, Lindsay. I mean, and you already demonstrate power presence so beautifully. So it's just a joy to connect with you here.
All right. So see you, folks. And until next week on the Leverage Your Podcast Show.
And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you want to leverage your podcast for higher ROI, then get my free podcast leverage system training at leverageyourpodcast.com/free.